Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Fuster. Today, we have an amazing show. I'm going to call it The Courage to Expose Medical Myths. And I want to tell you this. It's been my experience that there is a lot of misinformation, disinformation, a lot of leaders that are, it's the blind leading the blind out there. And what is happening is that unless we establish some credibility around the information and we get it from trusted sources, it's dangerous. It's dangerous in our medical decisions. It's dangerous in our business. It's dangerous in our relationships. You've probably experienced that. Have you listened to some information and made decisions that were maybe not appropriate, maybe for your health? Maybe for a loved one, maybe for a family member, right? Well, this show is dedicated to you and to everybody that has been kind of misled and misguided with the information that they've come across. So I want to say this. It's been my experience that there are basically six ways we get information, right? We get information, from our logic, right? There's a logical, we do research, we use our logic to make decisions based on the research. We also can use our intuition, right? If you're a person that has developed that intuition, you know, intuition is 100% accurate if you have tapped into the depth of your soul and you can connect with that intuition. So we can learn through intuition. We can learn and get the information through our own experience, of course. And the one I like is I like getting information from wise teachers, people that have been out there in the world, that have experience, they have knowledge, they have wisdom, and they now are teaching us based on their information. And then, of course, I get information from trusted sources, where the collectivity of all of us, maybe even on buying on an Amazon product, where I am seeing that, oh, this has a 4.8 rating and there's 10,000 views. Okay, or 10,000 ratings of, 4 or 5 plus. I'm going to probably buy that. And the last way that we get information is the way that I recommend. It's through realized, what I call them, realized masters. These are individuals who have everything I just talked about, right? They're tuning into their intuition. They're using their logic. They're doing research. They're connecting with trusted sites and trusted sources. They connect with wise people. They have all of that. Well, today, the reason I went over that is because today I have one of those realized masters on my show today. We're going to be talking about health. We're going to be talking about issues that are really important to you, and especially around making choices with doctors. And really, this show is about taking your power and multiplying it. So stay tuned. You're going to love this show. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers. This free book reveals little-known secrets about annuity strategies that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. Call right now for your free book, and as a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report, both absolutely free, for calling Annuity General today.
Call 800-510-0470.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call now.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Oh, welcome back to the show, everybody. Okay, well, in studio, I have Dr. John Pudeli. And let me ask you this. Have you ever been reluctant to go to your doctor and ask questions? Maybe you have. Well, our guest today says you can't afford to be passive about your health, and that includes questioning your doctors. Dr. John has practiced medicine for over 30 years. Today, he writes books that bust medical myths and empower his patients. His new book is called Your Health is at Risk, How to Navigate Information Chaos to Prevent Lifestyle Diseases. Dr. John, welcome to the show.
Mr. Ken, I thank you for having me, and I thank our listeners and viewers.
Well, it's this is an important show for a lot of people. You say that today our health is threatened by disinformation, misinformation, and missing information. Why do you say that?
All you have to do is to take almost any medical condition that you have. There are always questions that you don't have complete answers. And when you ask your doctor, you have to be careful because the doctor may think that you are questioning the knowledge, whereas all you want to know is information to understand your problem by yourself. So that is where the difficulty comes in. What type of questions to ask and how to get the answers that you can understand. And will the doctor give you in a way that it is understandable for you? The most of the doctors don't even have time enough to explain what your problem is and how you can deal with it.
Well, you know, we went through a health crisis with my wife a few months back, and I was fortunate to be up at my sister's ranch in Lancaster, California. She's a nurse. She's been a practicing nurse for over 30 years. So I would ask the doctor a few questions, and I'd come home and I'd tell my sister what I told the doctor. And every single time I did that, she said, "You're not asking enough questions. You need to ask why. If they say they want to do this procedure, why do they want to do this procedure? What is the outcome for that procedure? Why is this going to help?" Right. So I can really relate to what you're saying here. Yeah. So, you know, you have a new book out. Let me just talk about that real quick, because I think this all kind of ties back in. I want to show the book real quick. It's called Your Health is at Risk. So what inspired you to write this particular book?
Well, for 30 years, I've been researching the weight gain, type 2 diabetes. Then I was diagnosed with cancer for about 14 years ago. So I started researching cancer. Then all these led to how much information people are missing. And then COVID hit. And COVID was an excellent example for disinformation. So that is when I started, okay, we will start with this one to explain all of them.
Okay. Well, all right. So COVID hits and you're writing this book. How did COVID impact this book? What happened with the book as a result of the COVID?
Well, COVID is the prime example of disinformation. Mm-hmm. Disinformation means you are an expert or supposedly a person in power or empowered. Take the fact and then twist it to accomplish something different than what it should be. Instead of telling the truth, they say something that they want people to hear so that the people will follow them, not the scientists.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I think the biggest challenge a lot of people had with the COVID thing is that, the bureaucrats weren't following the science. And, you know, that hurt a lot of people, I think. Yeah.
Well, most people don't have you and I call critical thinking. Mm-hmm. They cannot differentiate, is this the truth or not? So they go to a trusted source, as you mentioned. And if the trusted source deliberately changes the facts of the matter, if I may, let me give you two examples of COVID. One is, what is the rate of spread of COVID? How does COVID spread? There are two ways. One is the droplet. In order to understand that, all you have to do is to go in front of a mirror and breathe on it. The mirror gets cloudy. Why? Because there are water droplets coming from your lungs with each breath. Each one of those droplets can contain the virus if you are infected. So a person breathing in what you breathe out, the virus goes into the nose, into the sinuses, and they have got spike proteins, which are the attachment proteins. They attach themselves to the cell wall. The virus, COVID virus, does not enter your body through your skin because it needs a special receptor. Just like each key can unlock only a particular lock. So this receptor has to accept the spike protein, and then the cell will let the virus in, and this virus multiplies inside the cell, and when it bursts out, you start spreading. Initially, it is like the droplet spread is similar to an ordinary flu, but then there is called what is called aerosol spread, where it can stay in the air longer and spread along with the air current. And that is more dangerous. It spreads faster. Both of these can be blocked by face masks. And there was a lot of disinformation about face masks. It is not for your own protection. It is primarily for protection of others, your loved ones, the parents, or somebody with immunosuppressed. They cannot afford to get this virus. The second disinformation was about the severity of the infection. Most people were told it is similar to a flu. No, this is much more dangerous than ordinary flu. So these are the two. The severity and the rate of spread was twisted around so people don't understand the gravity of what we were facing.
Okay. Well, you know, what I just heard you say is that if you're sick, you should probably be wearing a face mask out there, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean about COVID. It means about other diseases too. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. In a sense, now the people are used to face masks, and I'm hoping already we can see the last flu season, the incidence of flu was much less compared to previous years. Why? Because we were wearing face masks. So I'm hoping every flu season, people will start wearing face masks to protect others.
Yeah, I kind of question that. I mean, we had, 2019, we had 60 million cases of flu. Last year, we had 800. So I really wonder about that. If that doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't believe it's just face masks. I think there's some different, they've branded different diseases differently. It's my head.
Well, all you have to do is look at the hospitalization based on flu, influenza, and deaths. Yeah. And that incidence is very, very down last season compared to the seasons before.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to touch, you've done a lot of research in diabetes, and you have a theory out there called the fatty acid burn theory. I'd like to discuss that and the causes of diabetes type 2 when we get back. We'll be right back from the break.
Attention cancer victims who use the weed killer Roundup. A federal jury unanimously found that Monsanto's popular weed killer Roundup was a substantial factor in causing cancer. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. If you or someone you love used Roundup and were diagnosed with cancer, call the number on your screen now. Don't wait. There may be time deadlines to file a claim.
Call 800-506-2151. That's 800-506-2151.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get Nano's revolutionary technology just $347. Don't be fooled by higher priced hearing aids. The CIC Recharge is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Nano hearing aids for just $347. Plus, we'll add a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The CIC Recharge has a tiny in-the-ear canal design that is nearly invisible. Why keep missing out on important conversations or waste thousands of dollars? Call and get two CIC Recharge hearing aids for only $347 and free shipping. Call now.
800-817-7419. Again, that's 800-817-7419.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. You're on the Voices of Courage show. We're listening to Dr. John Puterle, and the name of this show is The Courage to Expose Medical Myths. All right, medical myth around diabetes. Let's talk about that. What do you say to that?
For the last 80 years, we are talking about, first of all, let's define diabetes. Diabetes is diagnosed only with one test, elevation of blood glucose level. There are two types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. In order to understand these types, you need to know what does insulin do. Insulin is the hormone released in your from your pancreas when your blood glucose level goes up after a meal. The blood glucose is all around the body. Every cell needs glucose or can use glucose. Now, when somebody rings your doorbell in your house or apartment, you know there is somebody outside. When glucose is outside a cell, there is no doorbell for glucose to ring to let the cell know it is outside. That is the job of insulin. So insulin rings the doorbell. The cell sends a wagon to load up glucose, bring it in. So imagine if you don't have any insulin, as in a type 1 diabetic, glucose is outside, plenty of them, but it has no way of letting the cell know it is outside because there is no insulin. So these children, the cells starved in spite of having a lot of glucose outside, and they used to die by age 10. 100 years ago, insulin was discovered. When insulin was given to the children, their life became normal. Dr. Elliot Joslin in Boston treated the maximum number of type 1 diabetics with insulin. And the result was so amazing to him. When his own relative, elderly relative, became diabetic, he injected her with insulin. Her blood sugar went down. So he thought it is the same disease happening in an adult. So it was called adult onset diabetes. What Dr. Joslin did not know at that time was these adults at the time of diagnosis had plenty of insulin in the blood. So how could this be? Both insulin and glucose are present. So in 1940, Dr. Falta in Vienna hypothesized perhaps the cells are not responding. They are resistant to insulin. Because at that time, the first evidence of bacterial resistance to penicillin was published. So he applied the same theory here, and endocrinologists accepted it without validation.
Wow. Okay, so where do we stand today then? You know, if somebody comes in, they have type 2 diabetes, what's the first step that you might prescribe or talk to them about?
To prevent any disease or reverse any disease, you need to know the cause. Yeah. If you don't know the real cause, you are treating the symptom. Elevated blood glucose is only a symptom of type 2 diabetes. That's not the disease. Type 2 diabetes, in my opinion, is a lifestyle condition. You are putting into the body a food source, which when digested is absorbed into the body as glucose molecules. And the primary source of food that produces glucose in our body after a meal are foods made with grains or grain flour products, wheat, corn, and rice being the most common in the United States and rest of the world. They are complex carbohydrates. In my opinion, grains were never meant for humans. Otherwise, we would have had beaks to pick them up and the ability to digest the chaff. We don't. And that is the problem. 100 years ago, the percentage of energy, food energy that came from complex carbohydrates was less than 35% in an average day. Now it is 50% in developed countries and almost 70% in developing countries. And that is the reason type 2 diabetes is increasing.
So if we were to cut out the corn, the wheat, the wheat flours, and what the grains, what do you say that would reduce our diabetes in the country? That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let me give you this example. The Native Americans, when they were brought to the reservation in the year 1900, they had complete physical examination. And they did not have two things. One is two conditions. One, cancer. Second, type 2 diabetes. Now, 50% of the adults over 35 in the Arizona reservation are diabetic.
Wow.
Why? Because Native Americans traveled from one food source to another. They did not stay in one place to cultivate grains. What were they fed along the journey? Fry bread made with corn and lard. And that was continued. Another piece of evidence. In the year 19, about 30 years, one doctor, researcher in Australia asked 10 Aborigines with type 2 diabetes, can you go back and live in the bush just like their ancestors? They were on diabetic medications. Within 6 weeks, they lost weight, their diabetes went away, they didn't have to take any more medication. Why? They did not eat any cultivated grains. So make your own conclusions.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. My only other question around that, before I do, real quick, if you could tell us, what about white cane processed sugar? Does that contribute also? Is that what we're talking about here or no?
Not sucrose. That is the table sugar. No, that has nothing to do with diabetes. If you stop it, your diabetes is not going to go away either.
Interesting. Okay, we'll be right back. And when I come back, I want to talk about your new book again, Your Health is at Risk. And, you know, diabetes is a lifestyle disease. What other lifestyle diseases are out there that we can prevent? I'd like to talk to you about that when we get back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Dr. John Pudeli, and he is a MD who's been in practice for over 30 years. We're talking right now a little bit about, we just finished up the diabetes, but I'd like to know about some other lifestyle diseases that might be out there that are preventable in your estimate.
Well, when we say preventable, I would say more like controllable in one sense, because first of all, pandemic, I'm classifying it as a lifestyle disease. Why? Most of the pandemics in this century comes from animals, a virus which is a normal resident of an animal, either a bird or bats or whatever. And then it migrates into human being. Why? Because of our close association with animals. Then we travel. carrying this virus all over the world. So the speed of travel determines how fast the pandemic is spreading. So if our lifestyle is not such that we travel and associate so often, it will not be spreading. It will be endemic in one area. So pandemic, in my opinion, is a lifestyle condition. Type 2 diabetes, as we said, it is strictly due to intake of complex carbohydrate in excess of what the body can store outside the blood. Immediately after a meal, the blood glucose level goes up, primarily because of the complex carbohydrates are digested in the intestine into glucose. That overloads the blood system, and the liver has to convert that into triglyceride for long-term storage. When the storage capacity, that is what we inherit from our parents, when that capacity is filled up, glucose stays in the blood and you are a diabetic. Type 2 diabetes has nothing to do with insulin. It has more to do with storage capacity. For example, a young girl pregnant, at 8 weeks of pregnancy, she has been diagnosed with gestational diabetes. No family history, no previous history of diabetes. Why? Because she was eating, or her friends encouraged her to eat different foods for the complexion of the baby, for brain development, for whatever. And she eats and eats. She fills up her fat storage capacity, and then she becomes diabetic. After delivery, when she loses weight, her fat cells are emptied, blood sugar comes to normal. So it is not because there's something magical about the insulin. It is more about the fat storage capacity. So that is the second part of lifestyle condition. Third is cancer. Cancer is one single cancer cell, stem cell, dividing uncontrollably. But you know, the maximum number of precancerous cells in our body, it is when you are in the mother's womb, meaning the immune system is very capable of controlling that, because 99% of the precancerous cells in the fetus are destroyed before the baby is born. The fetus, the cells are produced by amateurs. They have no previous experience to produce new cells, so they make mistakes. And mistakes are the reason for cancer, of the mistakes in producing the controlling genes. Every cell has two genes to control the multiplication unwanted. If they are mutated, you have cancer. So the immune system can take care of it. However, if you feed the cancer cell, if they multiply faster than what the immune system can take care of, then the cancer wins out. What do cancer cells use to multiply faster? They need energy. That energy comes from glucose. So the higher your blood glucose level, the faster the cancer cells will grow. This is why type 2 diabetics have 50% higher chance of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer, endometrial cancer, and other cancers. The same applies to COVID. If you are a diabetic, if you get COVID, you are not more likely to get COVID, but if you get it, COVID virus can multiply faster. So the severity of your infection gets worse. Why? Because the cells that manufacture COVID virus, they get more power, more fuel in the form of glucose. So cancer cells can multiply faster. COVID can multiply faster, and this can also lead to cardiovascular disease. As I mentioned, any excess glucose is converted into fat and cholesterol based on your genetic makeup, and that can block your artery. So the lifestyle conditions are pandemics, type 2 diabetes, cancer, and cardiovascular disease. All can be influenced by changing our lifestyle.
staying in your lifestyle. And I personally subscribe to the fact that most people bury themselves with what they eat and the environments that they keep and the lifestyle that they've developed for themselves. So you're really on that point. I think, I've had a lot of people on the show that they promote getting rid of red meats out of their diet and go to more of a plant-based diet. And what do you say to that? Well, you know what? I'll get what you say to that when we come back from a commercial. Okay, we'll be right back.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day and injecting insulin 3 or more times per day or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Hi, JJ's back because this is important. Do you know if your Medicare Advantage plan benefits are changing this year? Are your costs and copays going up? Is your doctor still covered? During the annual enrollment period, you can call to find out all the changes to your coverage. Plus, see if you're eligible for a plan with the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
I called to find a plan with lower copays and more dental coverage.
I called to see if my zip code has a plan with the benefit that adds money back to my Social Security check.
I called to make sure my doctors are still in my plan.
Extra benefits, extra money. Dynamite! AEP has a deadline, so don't delay. Call now.
Call 1-800-957-1821. That's 1-800-957-1821 now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Again, we're talking to Dr. John Pudeli, and he has a book out that we're exploring some of the book. It's called Your Health is at Risk, and I believe it is for most of us. So let me go back to that Dr. John, that question I asked, you know, should we go back to, you know, getting out, cutting out red meats and going to plant-based diets, as far as that end of it? Because I know there's exercise and mental, ways that we're using our mind and, you know, the emotional factors. There's a lot of things that go into what we're talking about here. But I'd like to get your take on that.
Well, we have 20 plus feet of intestine, humans, and so we are primarily designed for vegetarian diet. However, as I mentioned earlier, in the Native Americans, they ate all kinds of red meat. They ate everything except complex carbohydrate from grains. They did not have cancer or type 2 diabetes. In fact, the Royal College sent a medical team to find out what is the cause of lack of cancer in the Native Americans. And they could not find any. So their conclusion was these people are naturally immune to cancer.
I think that's a good point also that, you know, the red meat they ate was not, they weren't consuming grain-fed cows. They weren't consuming cows with antibiotics. With pesticides, in the fields of the grains that they eat, that was a different breed of meat that they ate.
I completely agree in the sense that's a very good point to make. That is, if the food is natural, then you're okay. When it is loaded with hormones and pesticides and other antibiotics, then you have a problem. So don't blame the red meat itself. It is what is added on to the red meat that gives us the trouble. In that, we are in agreement.
Well, we're in agreement on that. That's good. You know, when somebody reads your new book, Dr. John, what is it that they will walk away with? What is it that they'll get out of this book?
At the end of my book, I have questions that common people can ask their doctors. Most doctors are not used to being asked a critical question because sometimes they may not know the answer, then they don't want to appear ignorant. In the medical school, we are not taught humility, that if you don't know the answer, be forthcoming and tell the patient, I don't have the answer, I'll try to get it. Most doctors are not trained to do that. We need to start training our medical students, empathy and humility. They need to understand what the person is going through. The person may not be able to articulate the concerns in a way that he can ask the critical question. So if the doctor is more receptive, he or she is trained, they are more receptive. In that case, the nurses are much more empathetic compared to doctors.
Yeah. Well, again, I experienced that firsthand a couple months ago. And when I had a doctor come in and he was like a hospitalist, I guess. That's what they kind of, my sister told me is the name of him. And he came in and he said to my wife, who was sitting there with a rash from head to toe, oh, your numbers look good. Looks like you're improving. We can get you out of there probably later today. And my wife is like, well, you don't know that I still have a temperature. I've got diarrhea. I can barely see straight. And he's like, oh, no, I didn't know all of that. Or like, well, doc, don't you think you ought to look at the chart? I mean, I'm sure, you know, we had some really great doctors. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's the point of that is what we're talking about. We had to step up and ask him questions and get him to understand the suffering that she was going through. So he'd take her out of the hospital while she was still sick. Amazing.
Yeah. We are not taught the art of listening.
That's right.
We are not, so they, we cannot understand. On the other hand, to be fair, the doctor does not want to be emotionally involved. The more he listens, the more he is likely to be dragged into the emotional state of the patient, and that's not good for the doctor's well-being. So you have to make a balance, and many people, even doctors, are not thought how to make the create that balance.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, it's something that is important to the doctor's career. And I think all of us, you know, it comes up, can we trust our doctors today? Right. You know, and I like what you said earlier, you know, there's a patient responsibility here. But I want to ask that question. Can we really trust our doctors today?
We can trust our doctors to explain to us what they know. So the point is, if they are told a misinformation, as in the case of type 2 diabetes, I have asked the head of NIH, the National Digestive Diabetic Disease and Kidney Diseases, there is a sentence there that type 2 diabetes starts when three types of cells in the body, the liver, the fat, and muscle cells become resistant to insulin. Now, human body has 200 different types of cells. How can these three organs decide on their own that from tomorrow, we are not going to listen to insulin? Imagine you have a 200-unit apartment. And three units independently decide that we are not going to respond to UPS driver from tomorrow. What's the reason? Why do these cells decide not to respond to insulin? But if that is what the doctor believes, because we are taught, it is in the medical textbooks, and we are taught that same thing. But take liver. There are 1,000 lobules. Each lobule has a million cells. And you don't know what your neighbor is doing in next door. How can the cell know what the next cell is doing, whether it is resisting insulin or not? It makes no sense. And there are 50 hormones in the body. Why did these organs select insulin to resist? No other hormones.
Well, I think the mind plays a part in that. I had a close friend that I had two friends. Well, one friend had liver cancer with a grapefruit-sized liver on it, or a tumor on his liver, and the doctors said we weren't going to do anything for you. We can't really do. We can't operate with that big. And he went home and he found some alternative treatments and actually healed. I had another friend that had I was at the hospital with him. He had a cancer on his liver. It was the size of like a pinhead. And he had a stroke a year before. When he saw that on the x-ray, and I was standing there with him, he looked, pointed out, he said, you know, this is it. I'm done. I'm not going to recover from this. I'm not going to go through liver cancer. And he was dead in 3 months. So what's going on, man? What's going on? I think the mind plays a part of this.
The mind plays a part, but the nature of cancer, the cancer cells, if they multiply, you know, the number one cancer that kills American men is prostate cancer.
Right.
If you take 100 people with prostate cancer, 30%, one-third of them will die of cancer. One-third will know they have prostate cancer, but it won't bother them. One-third will not even know until they die of some other cause and the autopsy shows cancer. So what's the difference? The difference is in the first third, they have metastasis. They are colonies. The cancer has established colonies elsewhere in the body. Okay, how does that kill the person? The cancer cells do not release toxins. They do not attack the neighboring organs and destroy them. So what causes death in cancer? Cancer cells, in order to multiply, they use the same ingredients as normal cells use, same power source. So when you have multiple metastasis and they are all taking nutrients, the normal cells starve. That is what causes death in cancer, the starvation of vital organs, cells in vital organs. So if we can contain the cancer and keep it in one location, you can survive it. It will be just like any other organ.
Yeah, that's good. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. And, you consider that what you've considered in your book that the coronavirus came from Wuhan or not. I want to hear your answer on that when we get back.
Okay.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. We're talking to Dr. John Poodle. sorry, Poodle-y. And Dr. John has a new book out. It's if you haven't got it already, I recommend it. It's Your Health is at Risk and How to Navigate Information Chaos to Prevent Lifestyle Diseases is the subtitle. You know, I wanted to take a step back and just ask you about that piece because we talked about the coronavirus a little earlier, but I left out the one question I wanted to ask you. Do you think that that came out of the Wuhan lab there another source? What's your view on that?
In order to produce a virus that, the original bat virus cannot attach to human cells because their attachment protein is different. It will not connect to the ACE2 receptor that is needed. There's a particular lock and the receptor. So let us say the lab was doing experiments. There are two types of experiments. One is to find out how do the viruses become more severe, more powerful. The second is to find out how do they spread. There are 1,200 mutations between the original bat virus and the human virus. Even to infect humans, the original bat virus had to go through an animal. And there it mutates. When the animal is in close contact with the humans, it transmits. In this case, they have identified what is called coon dogs. They're dogs that were bred by farmers in breeders in China. That was the source of transmission from, that is what they're suspecting now. The Wuhan market had these dogs and people were in contact with these animal, and that is how it started. The same kind of mutations could not be done in a lab. Could not be done. So it cannot come from a lab. They may be doing research, but they have to do a specific mutation. And just look at what has happened after the initial one. The Wuhan version, when it went to Italy, it became stronger. It became a different variant. Why? Because the humans there produced a spike protein, which was stronger, which could stay there longer, attached to the cell, so the infectiveness became worse. Wow. Then came the Delta.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, okay, a lot of theories on that one. I really appreciate your input on that. And I got to thank you for being here. Well, I'm out of time today. So thank you so much, Dr. John, for sharing your wisdom and your understanding with us. And listen, I want to let everybody know that, you know, your book, they can get your book over there at, where is it? Dr. John Amazon. Health, Dr. John.
DrJohnOnHealth.com or Amazon has all my books.
Amazon has all your books and you've written 5 books. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, man. Well, I hope my audience enjoyed this show and I hope you, continue success with being able to inspire new thought out there and be able to help so many people that have this type 2 diabetes to really change up things. Thank you again for being here.
I thank you for helping people to take care of their own body. They have to be in charge of their health.
Absolutely. So for all of you that have joined us today, I want to thank you for being on the Voices of Courage show. Please tell your family, your friends, your associates about this show. That's how we grow. And from my heart to yours, I pray that you continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Till next time.